It's the lead story on the front page of the Irish News. Stitt won't quit. And this is the UDA commander, Dee Stitt, who is now in a standoff with the First Minister, Arlene Foster. My goodness, it wasn't that long ago that our First Minister was standing beside Commander Stitt, smiling with him as he was receiving money in the form of a cheque for Charter NI. Since then, Arlene Foster, the relationship has deteriorated to the point where Arlene Foster has called him a distraction. Her DUP colleague, Geoffrey Donaldson, assured the public that Dee Stitt was gone from his position as CEO of Charter NI. But it does seem that Commander Stitt is back at his desk. And he's back at his desk in control of millions of pounds of your public money, which raises a fundamental question for us here in Northern Ireland. Who has control anymore? Claire Hannett, you're with us, the former MLA, Seamus Close, also joining us this morning. Seamus, morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning. Claire, what's your reaction to this?
Well, I haven't actually read the article, Stephen. Your researcher rang at about 8:45 about the traffic, but I almost don't need to. This story is out of control. I mean, this is the week, it's the anniversary of the Fresh Start, which was a big historic deal to deal with paramilitarism and get us over another DUP and Sinn Féin sham crisis. And we have the situation where, as you say, this man is in control of millions of our money, of public money. The OFM and DFM silence on this is deafening. For weeks and weeks, we have been tabling urgent questions. We have been seeking an urgent review of the funding of this organisation, because it isn't just the Social Investment Fund, and we have been blocked at every turn. And now we have this situation where no one seems to know whether he is continuing, and nobody seems to be able to intervene and make the decision that needs to be made.
It's about the authority of our First Minister in Northern Ireland, the leader of this country, in contrast to the leader of a paramilitary organisation. Let's just remind ourselves what Arlene Foster, the leader of our country, actually said in regards to Commander Stitt.
Well, as I understand it, Dee Stitt is stepping down as CEO of Charter. I don't regret being photographed in terms of the Charter scheme, because I actually believe that the scheme, and one of the difficulties around all of the noise about Dee Stitt, is the fact that the employability scheme has not really got the attention that it should have got.
So as I understand it, says our First Minister, Dee Stitt is stepping down. No, he isn't. Geoffrey Donaldson went further.
If I was in charge of Charter NI, I would not have him as my chief executive.
And then, Claire Hannah, he comes back today, according to the Irish News, to his desk.
Well, who is this man accountable to? And I do think the board of Charter, and again, like a lot of the social investment projects, nobody's saying that there isn't good work being done, but we have been consistently asking, what are we getting for these hundreds of thousands of pounds administration fees? And I think there needs to be a deep look into how the money is moving between some of these funded organisations. But, you know, it is a little bit of a metaphor in general. Who is in control? Are the democratically elected representatives and the governments in control, or are the paramilitaries? Because it seems like people in communities are under pressure. Financial funds are under pressure. The government are under pressure. The only people who aren't under pressure seem to be the paramilitaries at the moment.
Seamus Close?
Yeah, I'm absolutely disgusted, and you shouldn't be surprised at that. This story has been going on now for well nigh a month. The last statement that we had from the Charter NI board was on, I think it was the 2nd of November. We're now on the whatever date into November it is today. But in that statement, they said that the board are addressing this matter internally.
Well, I can give you an update, because we have within the last few seconds received a statement from Charter NI. They say, following publication by The Guardian Online of an extract of an interview given by our chief executive, the board of Charter NI confirmed our view of the unacceptability of the statement made and the language used. Our chief executive recognised his error of judgment and apologised immediately for the content of the interview. We have now completed an internal review process in line with our company procedures and best employment practice. As indicated in our previous statement, this process and its outcomes are confidential, in keeping again with best employment practice. In other words, they promised they would do an internal review. They have now said they've completed their internal review and they're not going to tell anybody what they have or have not done. And the commander of a paramilitary organisation in this country continues to be in control of millions of pounds of taxpayers' money.
Yes, and with the greatest respect to the board, this has to put huge question marks against that board. Because if the membership, if that board as a body are content that their chief executive should be reported as saying the things that he's reported as saying and continue to be in charge, then that indicts, in my opinion, the entire board.
This goes beyond, Claire Hannah, the Guardian interview. It goes beyond that. This is a man who the BBC is reporting as being a commander of the UDA. That's what the BBC Spotlight programme has reported. He is a commander of a paramilitary organisation, the UDA. Is it not time for the chief constable of this country to give a security assessment to Arlene Foster, the First Minister, as to whether he believes this man continues to be a leading figure in an illegal organisation? Where is George Hamilton in all of this? Has he told Arlene Foster that we currently have a commander in the UDA in control of millions of pounds of our money?
Well, Stephen, you asked this time. I think it is long past time. There are so many questions and it is ludicrous that, and it's showing contempt for the public and for the money that we pay in our taxes, that they're saying this is an internal matter. We don't know whether they think it was an error of judgment saying the things or just saying them to a journalist with a camera. We haven't had answers to any of these questions.
I'm past the Guardian interview, though. I'm talking about someone whose status, whose role in this community is to be leading part of an illegal organisation. Are we just going to say, fair enough, give him more millions?
You have no control of more millions.
He's not getting the millions. He has control of it.
And Stephen, this isn't a problem that we've had for a month. It's a problem that we've had for years. It is high noon on paramilitarism. If we don't do, we're at an absolute tipping point. If we don't do anything about it now, we will, like other countries, look back and it'll be as embedded as the mafia, and we will wonder why we didn't address it and break the links now. So I agree. Yes, an assessment of their capacity. People have put forward very good solutions in the last few days about how we tackle this as an organised crime problem, which is what it is. Instead, we have inertia from the executive. We have an action plan.
DUP refusing to speak about this today.
And budget, and was rejected by the British government. We don't have an organisation like the NCA in the way that their expertise would be able to assist. So we had, as I say, exactly a year ago this week, we had fresh start. It heralded it. There's not one fresh thing about it, and the problem hasn't eased any.
Yes, Stephen, I think you raise a very, very interesting question about the Chief Constable and the police in general, because this is an illegal organisation. This person is allegedly a commander within that illegal organisation. The ceasefires were 22 years ago, not 1 year ago, 22. The Good Friday Agreement was 18 years ago, and we're still pussyfooting around, and it does pose a big question.
Well, can I sum up the question I have in my mind? Is Commander Stitt untouchable in this country?
Well, you see,
can the democratically elected leaders of this country, who abide by law and order, in other words, Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness, can even the powerful leaders of this country not actually control our funds to the point where the people in charge of our money are clean? Where the people in charge of our money are not paramilitaries? Have they lost control to that extent? Is Commander Stitt untouchable? That's the question I want to ask this morning.
And I think that is an extremely fair question. And when you're in a situation of where I heard a former assistant chief constable not too long ago suggesting that there were several hundred so-called touts within the greater Belfast area. And whenever those individuals are protected species, and whenever anyone who speaks out against them is talked about or referred to as maybe wanting to disturb the peace process, then we have a huge, huge problem, and a problem that has been consistently pushed under the carpet for years. And it's all right to come out with fresh starts, but unless there is the will, the determination, and the necessary infrastructure and individuals and resources to deal with it, then those that are in charge of paramilitary organisations know that with a nod and a wink, they can get away with virtually anything. And that is the problem in Northern Ireland today. And that's holding back lots of good work being done by organisation, but it's also causing a scar right across the whole system.
I am publicly giving the Chief Constable, George Hamilton, an open public opportunity this morning to tell this community that the leader, a leader of the UDA, is not in control of millions of pounds of our money. I'm giving George Hamilton a public opportunity to tell us that D-Stitt is not a commander of the UDA. This story has been brought to the front pages by the Irish News security correspondent, Alison Morris. Alison, what's your understanding of what's happened today?
Well, my understanding, and I've been told this from someone at a very senior level, is that D-Stitt is back to work this morning. He was told to go on a period of leave while an internal review was carried out, but as we know, that's been completed, and it's obviously been completed in his favour. But as you said, this is a problem for the DUP. The DUP okayed this money, and the DUP have came on numerous radio and television shows and also in the newspapers and defended giving this money.
Well, the DUP, the way the system doesn't work, the DUP doesn't okay the money.
The executive, so it was the DUP and Sinn Féin okayed this money. It was a social investment fund that's okayed by the executive.
Correct. This goes to the very heart of the executive office. This goes to the very heart of our government. It goes to the door of Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness.
But what you have to ask then is the tail wagging the dog? Because what we have been told is this money is going towards groups and that we're working towards letting paramilitaries leave the stage. But ask yourself, Stephen, if the UDA structures did not exist in East Belfast, North Down, would D-Stitt still be in his job? He's in his job because he has the backing of that organisation, and that is why he still exists as a leader, and that is why he is able to survive so much media attention on his position. And if he didn't have the support of that organisation, he wouldn't have survived by now. So what you have to ask is the UDA controlling the DUP or the DUP controlling the UDA? Because they're telling us they're helping that organisation leave the stage by engaging with its members. But I think what's really happening is what you can see is the DUP, by their actions, is helping facilitate that organisation to continue to exist.
But I think you've nailed it this morning in what you just said there, Alison. This isn't just the DUP, is it? This is the executive office. So this is at the very heart of our government. This is the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister, which control and are in charge of the process, ultimately, which funds millions of pounds of public money into these groups. And they are currently allowing a situation where millions of pounds are going to a group where the CEO is a commander of the UDA. What has the UDA done over many, many years? Oh, that's right, intimidated people. Oh, that's right, racketeering. Oh, that's right, drug dealing. And the executive office in Northern Ireland is in charge of a process which is funneling millions of pounds to an organisation who has a UDA commander at the top of it.
And it's not just this organisation. There were other organisations. You have paramilitary figures, or former paramilitary figures and senior members who benefited from the SIF fund, and that is at the heart of what is wrong with the SIF fund. There was no open competition. Nobody got a chance to compete for this money, be interviewed for this money, be assessed for this money. And if that was an open competition in the tender process, it's independent, transparent, would that money have went to Charter NI? We don't know, because we never had that opportunity to find that out. But what we do know is that it's a closed process. And when people like you or people like I question that process, we're shut down and we don't get answers and we're not told how they came to deliver $1.7 million to that group. And when you ask questions of that group and its board, they also shut down and refuse to answer questions. And I think when you're dealing with such huge sums of public money, that's unacceptable.
What's going on in Northern Ireland, Claire?
Well, I think, and Alison hit on it there. I know a month ago when I asked about this, if I was told a nasty statement out of OFM saying I was out of touch if I had any problem with this money, and it is a very closed and secretive government. We haven't been able.
Well, they would deny it was nasty, wouldn't they?
Well, you can read it, but we haven't been able to have this discussion in a thorough way. We haven't, the urgent questions we've tabled, and we've asked for a review of the money. We haven't necessarily said it's all pulled forever. A review is the least we can expect, and the silence of both FM and DFM, by the way, because I haven't seen any Sinn Féin commentary on this in the last month, except to suggest that it's class bias and snobbery, which, again, I don't think people will accept. But I think a statement immediately from that office confirming their position and that urgent review. But the three-person report that was published at the start of the summer was actually a really, really good document after 20 years of strategies and plans for getting rid of paramilitaries. But it hasn't been given voice. It's two things in it that always stick with me. One, it talked about short-term fixes and the fact that we have put sticking plaster over things and we've never dealt with these problems in a structured organisational way. And the other thing it said that very clearly, if an organisation is getting public money, it should be a consistent role model in its communities. And that's a fairly simple yardstick that you can put against organisations, because some organisations are moving on and some people who have a past, you know, can have a future. But are they a consistent role model to their community? And you can ask yourself whether Charter NI and DSTIT are that.
Pause for a second, we'll get the news at 9:34. Right, Rob this morning. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Thanks for calling us.
Thanks for taking the call. Stephen, I'm calling here for effective leadership from OFM, DFM.
Well, they're not the only funders of Charter NI. There's a whole array of public bodies which has funded Charter NI.
I understand that, but in relation to...
So the executive is not the only funder.
Yeah, but in relation to the SIF funding that has been applied to Charter NI, we have a lack of leadership from the DUP and Sinn Féin in relation to this matter. And in fact, the person that I have seen the most shouting and calling for an independent review and the suspension of funding has been Nicola Mallon, who has been very brave in putting her neck out and saying that this is what should happen. We have a CEO who is a criminal in every sense of the word, who, by his own admission, refers to himself as being Homeland Security. We can go over and over all of those statements time and time again. His position is clearly untenable. Anyone in this day and age, in 2016, that thinks it's appropriate to under the banner of paramilitarism, to further their own agenda and their own gain and their own ends by intimidating people, by being involved in so-called quasi-justice, drug dealing, racketeering. They are not representatives of their community. Their community very much lives in fear of them. The First Minister has time and time again said that she doesn't want the loyalist community being brought into disrepute. Well, Mr. Stitt, in his position, brings the loyalist community into disrepute. And I'm calling on Arlene Foster this morning to come out very clearly. And I think that is what needs to happen. What Nicola Mallon has called for is a suspension of that funding until such times as the bona fides of the entire organisation can be confirmed.
There's a fundamental question for the Chief Constable of our country.
Well, that's another one.
Has he given any type of assessment to the First and Deputy First Minister of our country as to whether a public body in Northern Ireland like Charter NI, which is receiving millions of pounds, is headed up in terms of its CEO by Commander Stitt? Is he in the UDA? Is he a leader in the UDA? And if the Chief Constable has not given that assessment to the First and Deputy First Minister, why has he not? Because I'll tell you what, if you park on a double yellow line in this country, you will be prosecuted. You will get a ticket. If you're running around as the leader of a paramilitary organisation in this country, you'll be given a 30 grand chief executive job and a photo call with the First Minister.
Stephen, it's a very, very worthwhile question. It's a question that people are asking. The UDA is an illegally prescribed organisation, recognised in law as being so. And if, the allegations have been made on multiple occasions by the media and others in the public domain that he is a current UDA member involved in criminality, he has not taken any legal action, as far as I'm aware. against the media or any other individual for making those claims. And I would be interested to see what the PSNI's intelligence assessment is on that and why, indeed, they are not arresting him for that offence.
Jared, this morning. Morning, Jared.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Well, Stephen, speaks for itself. You know, like the beast that came off of this statement, you know, and at the end of the day you hear that he apologises for it. It's a lot of nonsense. He never apologised. He made an apology. It sounds good. But living up to the Northdown defenders and, you know, we'll defend it from anybody. That was a statement on its own. Now, I'm looking at it is that he is putting it up to the executive. Now, the executive, or the DUP, Arlie Foster, are hiding behind their doors today. Why are they not on your radio show this morning saying, we are calling for Dee Stitt to resign? He is sending out the wrong message to people who are coming out of jail or are on a Republican side who are trying to change their lives. Now, Dee Stitt's sending out the wrong message.
He claims he has changed his life. He claims while he was in prison that he decided to leave any type of association with violence behind and come out and be a better man, a law-abiding citizen, is what he claims. It is the position of the BBC Spotlight programme that he is currently still the leader of the UDA.
Of course he is, Stephen. Of course he is. And here, if he's coming out and he's changing his ways, he's a funny way of showing it, Stephen. He's making good people who out there is doing good work now look bad. And that's not fair, Stephen.
When I say the leader of the UDA, I mean the leader of the UDA in North Down.
Well, so the government up in Stormont have a little bit of answer for here why they're not coming out and why they're not saying that this man should be stood down from immediate effect from his position.
Well, listen, the message is simple. To the next generation of children listening, you know, to this podcast, to the next generation of children wondering whether they can, you know, make something of their lives or not, if you're an armed robber, if you're the leader of an organisation which intimidates people, you can get a chief executive's job too. And you maybe even can get a selfie with our First Minister.
Well, Stephen, if you come out of jail and you genuinely change your life around, whether you're an armed robber or anybody who's sitting up in Stormictor, you know, who's done time, you know, if you can come out of jail and turn your life around and better the community you're living in and the future for the next generation, well and good, but Dee Stitt's not doing that. So he's getting paid £30,000, plus he's getting millions poured into that in the Charter ANI, and he's waiting it up, and he's sitting back, and he's laughing, and he's sitting more or less giving the middle finger to Arlie Foster and Martin McGuinness, who today are hiding behind their doors, not coming out and saying what they should be saying. And the community here...
Well, they're not... let's be fair to them, so they're not hiding. It's only 9:45 in the morning.
Right. Stephen, these people are up way before me and you in the mornings, so, you know... Listen, they should be on the radio saying this is what it is. Especially if somebody who stands beside me, like Arlie Foster, and calling for, you know, Homeland Security, Northdown defenders will defend them from anybody. That was the way he said that statement, and that was a statement on its own. Now, people's went to jail for statements like that before, Stephen.
Yeah, well, there's an even bigger question. If he is the leader of an organisation, why is he not in jail? If he is the leader of the UDA... What is going on in this country? Where's our chief constable? Where is the police?
Yeah, where is the police? You know, maybe are they? Are we all? Can we all put in for £30,000 if we come off with statements like this? You know, I'll come off a statement like that now on your radio show, and would that be accepted? Bloody well sure. But my door would be off its hinges, and I'll be asked why I said that. That's a fact, Stephen.
I'll read the rest of the Charter NI statement to the Nolan Show this morning. As a board, we've been deeply concerned about the damaging impact of media attention over the past weeks, which has brought Charter NI's unblemished record and achievements for our communities into question. Our staff continue to work hard to improve the life opportunities for people in East Belfast and North Down, and the board wish to pay tribute to them during this testing period. We take our governance responsibilities extremely seriously, ensuring that all aspects of this organisation are beyond reproach, as has been evidenced by all statutory monitoring, evaluation and vouching, and independent professional financial auditing. This comes down to one simple question. Is anybody in authority in Northern Ireland prepared to categorically state that Mr Stitt is not the leader of the UDA in this country? Because that's a game changer. If he's not, that's a game changer. If he's not involved in all of that, that's a game changer.